Local news can come at you fast. Want the latest on what's happening in your backyard? Download the free Odyssey app. Follow your local news station, and you'll get alerts on the top stories making headlines in your city. You can stay in the know, no matter what you're up to, and be among the first to find out when news breaks. Plus, keep tabs on weather and traffic, so you're never caught off guard. To get started, download the Odyssey app. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. And follow your local news station.
Cross court to Jimerson, NBA range, bang! Jimerson in transition!
Started with the Robbie Avila block once again. Isaiah with a beautiful cross court to Gibby in the rhythm of the catch and another 10-point lead.
Ah, baby, it's on tonight, and it is on KMOX. The first place in the conference, the A-10 St. Louis Billikens, will be against VCU. It's a 6 o'clock game, which means our pregame show starts at 5:45 right here on KMOX. And this is, as I mentioned, a big, big game for a Billikens team that has started to play a whole lot better since they have gotten healthy. And we go to the guest line this afternoon. Earl Austin Jr., Billikens radio analyst, is with us. You can hear him on the call tonight on KMOX. How's it going, Earl?
I'm fine. How are you today, both of you?
Oh, we are doing okay. Maybe not as well as the Billikens are doing lately, but historically, going back several years, it's been tough against Virginia Commonwealth. They have lost 8 of 10 games they have played. They're going to do this one on the road, so how do you look at it?
It's going to be a tough game. Anytime you go to VCU, the Billikens have never won in the Siegel Center. And some of our best teams that we've ever had in the past 10, 12 years have not been able to come away with a victory. And VCU is one of the bellwether programs of the Atlantic 10 Conference. And Coach Odom has another very good team. They're right behind us at 2-1. So it's going to be a tough one. But like you said, I like the way we're playing right now. We're playing with a lot of confidence on both ends of the court, playing better defense. Guys are really playing well together, you know, kind of playing as one, kind of as a cliche. So that gives you some confidence going into this tough environment tonight in Richmond.
I know at the beginning of the year, there was some question marks around the offense. Now they're playing with more confidence. What does that look like? Like, what changes have you seen from at the beginning of the year to now in their offense?
Well, the main thing is having many of the key players have back healthy. At the beginning of the season, our top big man, Robbie Avila, missed about a month and a half of practice and a couple of early games with an ankle injury. And then Kobe Johnson, one of our starting guards, excellent. He missed games with a shoulder injury. Then Kellen Thames from Pattonville High School, he got started off the season playing very good basketball, but then he started having cramping issues and some health issues, and he had to miss games and only play parts of other games. But now Kellen has come back, Robbie is healthy, Kobe is healthy, and what you see is when they're playing together, the ball is really moving, guys are moving. It's almost like they're playing unscripted basketball. They're reading with the defense, and they're just moving accordingly to different spots, and it's great passing, and it's great shooting, and it's really tough to defend when they're really kind of on the same page like that. And it's fun to watch, and the crowd is really starting to respond to how they play like that.
You mentioned Avila, who missed all that time, and he almost had nearly had a double-double the other night against St. Bonaventure. He missed it by a rebound. But he was, you know, supposed to be a really important part of this team from the beginning. And just watching him now that he is back from that injury, how has he been settling?
Oh, it's been great. Robbie's one of the best big men in the country. I mean, he's kind of the hub of the team, and he's a unique big man. And you're starting to see kind of this with Nikola Jokic, who's the best player of the NBA, a lot of outgrowth of these big, strong guys who normally play underneath the basket. They play kind of like guards now. You know, Robbie's like 6'10", 250 pounds, but he brings the ball up. He can be the point guard. He can facilitate our offense. He can shoot three-pointers, but then he can still go down and do business in the post. So he's just a unique, and he's one of the best passers, the best passing big men in the country. And it just really makes the offense work, and it's really hard to guard when you bend your center out and play guard, the guard spot. Makes the game easier for everybody else.
We are talking with Earl Austin Jr., who will be on the Billikens call tonight here on KMOX. They take on VCU. 5:45 is the pregame show. So we're looking at and wondering whether or not this Billikens team probably played themselves out of an at-large bid. Does this look right now, and again, there is a lot of time between now and when we get to March and conference tournament play, does this look like a team that could not just make the tournament, but if they get there, maybe at least win a game or two?
Well, I think the league itself, it's going to be tough to get more than one at-large team. Probably the team with the most biggest position to get one was Dayton. They had some real good early season wins, but they've taken a couple of early season losses in conference play. I think the Billikens are one of, I guess, there's four or five teams that, if they get it all together, go make a nice run through the A-10 tournament, and get into the NCAA tournament with how they play and how we're playing defense. And like I said, we got three really good players. Robbie Gibson Jimerson with the A-10 player of the week, and Isaiah Swope, who will all average close to 20 points a game. You know, if you're fortunate enough to get into the tournament, then you have a chance to possibly knock off somebody. But that's so far off right now. You're just hoping to continue this positive role that you're on and hopefully be playing your best ball. That's what you want to do. You want to be peaking in late February, early March, where you put yourself in position to do something like that.
Yeah, earlier this morning, Tom Ackerman was talking about the Billikens and obviously the big game tonight against VCU, but saying, yeah, but this team, yeah, the SLU Billikens haven't won in Richmond before, but it's a different team now. This is a different looking team than before. And speaking of things that have changed, you mentioned Jimerson, Richmond, his hometown, but also more relevant, this part of his game, rebounding, has really picked up for him. It's been something new. It's something he is excited about. And do you see that as adding a layer of depth to this team that they didn't have even, you know, earlier on in the season?
Yeah, I mean, Giddy had like 8 rebounds, I believe, the last game, including in addition to the 28 points that he scored. I think when you're a senior, you know, he's finally at the end of his career there, there's more urgency in every play. You know, not only every game, but every possession means a little bit more. And you can see that in how he's playing. He came out the gate in the first conference game against Fordham in New York, scored 26 points in the first half and basically carried us. And I think everybody on the team has kind of increased their load since conference play has started. I think the biggest key is our ability to defend people. We're playing so much better defensively, and that's Gibson. Robbie had 3 block shots in the last game. Robbie really hasn't known from being a rim protector. He's 3 block shots. Isaiah's playing great defense on the point. Kobe Johnson's our best defender on the perimeter. Kellen Thames is also doing a great job. And I think that's a big key. We're not giving up easy drives. It's just we're not easy to score on as we were early on in the season, where teams were just kind of getting to the basket at will, and things have really tightened up, and they're really playing much better team defense, helping each other as well.
Earl, other than, you know, some of the new talent like Avila that we've talked about, Josh Schertz in his first year as the head coach of this team replacing Travis Ford, watching them day in and day out, see a difference in how they play, the style of basketball they're playing?
Yeah, I think with Travis, some of our best teams, like our championship team with 2019, some of the other teams, we really depended on defense and rebounding. Of course, we had Jordan Goodwin, one of the best rebounding guards in college basketball history, Hassan French, who was the all-time leading shot blocker in Billikens history, and we were just tough, physical teams, and we just really like to put the arm on people defensively. And then this team, Coach Josh Schertz, if you watch his Indiana State teams, they really rely on just a lot of ball movement, but they really rely on the three-point shot. It's kind of the modern 2020 basketball. It's three-point shots and layups, ball movement, and I guess the analytics style, and he really is a proponent of that. So you'll see us shoot a high volume of three-pointers, which suits us because we got some really good guys who can really shoot it and get to and really get to the basket, but get to the free throw line as much as possible.
This is an interesting discussion because I see it very similarly to baseball, where the analytics let teams know the best way to win, obviously run prevention, all of that, but to hit a lot of home runs and to draw a lot of walks. And it turned into a brand of baseball that you could win with, but maybe wasn't as visually appealing or entertaining to watch. Basketball is running into the same sort of thing, where teams have realized, and it's not just professional, but college, as you mentioned, that if you pull up from three, you know, it's a better percentage shot than any kind of mid-range game, which is more fun to watch, or a lot of people would argue is more fun to watch. Do you see the evolution of basketball as that? That it is, maybe you can win like this, you can win with the deep game, but it's just not as much fun, not as entertaining to watch?
Well, I'm kind of from the old school. I've evolved with the game, but I like balance as well. I love the mid-range game, and I love the low post game as well. But if you win by shooting a lot of threes, that's fine too. But I think I'm not a biggest fan of the one size fits all in it, but it'd be the same thing. Like you said, you talk about baseball, like hitting the home runs, drawing a lot of walks. That was great for the New York Yankees. They hit the ball out of the park better than anybody at the game. But until they got to the World Series in that last game, you figured out that the Yankees couldn't catch the ball. They couldn't run the bases. They couldn't throw to the right base. The basic fundamentals. That's how you blow a 5-0 lead and lose a World Series to a team who can hit home runs and do fundamentals, you know, like Mookie Betts and Shohei and all those guys. They did all the other stuff and hit home runs. So, yeah, you can get there, but you're not going to beat a team in the World Series. So that kind of came to fruition. And so, yeah, I enjoy I you know, I think people 30 years ago when Coach Spoonhauer led the Billikens on a great run, we had a three-point shooting team, but it was out of necessity because we were small. So, yeah, it's the philosophy of the game, but I still like, I like just a little balance, you know. I don't mind the mid-range, and I don't mind throwing it into the post, going in there and getting buckets like that. So I think, to me, I always say there's a lot, you know, when I call scoring the bat, scoring the ball, getting money. There's a lot of places where you can get money, you know, three-point line, free throw line, low post, mid post, all of those things. I just like people to take advantage of all the places where you can score. But I'm enjoying what I'm seeing now, though. When the shots are going in and the ball is moving, it's just as entertaining as anything. But I'm a guy with a little more balance in my game.
Earl, go get them tonight. Thanks for your time.
I appreciate it. Hopefully we can win one for you.
Thank you. Yeah, and it's all on you. If they don't win, you know who we're coming after.
That's right.
No, it's Rammer's fault.
Oh, it's Rammer's fault? Okay.
I take the credit, absolutely.
Yeah. All right. That's case, fair. Sure. Yeah. We'll blame him.
Well, you stay warm out there in St. Louis there, okay?
Awesome.
Thank you, Earl. Earl Austin Jr., Billikens radio analyst. He will be on the call with Bob Ramsey tonight. We've got the pregame show on KMOX starting at 5:45. That ball game against VCU will get started at 6. We have an Odyssey app, and we have a voice message feature, which you can send us a message. Give us your thoughts directly from the free Odyssey app. It's Chris and Amy. You should be following us at Chris Amy KMOX on Twitter. We have an Instagram account as well, Chris Amy KMOX. You know, we're a lot of fun, and you can look at us too. Did you know that? You can look at us on YouTube and Facebook. And again, on Twitter, you can watch the show streaming live. We're on the Odyssey app. Mm-hmm. Listening to us live is an option. Here's another one. If you have a home smart device like Alexa, hey, Alexa, play the Chris and Amy show. It will go back and play podcasts.
Oh, okay.
Or, hey, Alexa, play KMOX, and it'll put KMOX on live.
What's the other one? The Amazon one. Is Amazon Alexa?
Amazon is Alexa.
There's one more.
Is it Google you're thinking of?
Maybe.
Probably have to do like, hey, Google. It's something like that. That's my guess. Oh, I just said, hey, Google, and my phone lit up.
I did a joke with a friend. I don't have Siri on my phone. And I was like, hey, Siri, how many socks are in the ocean? Like, because I was giving an example of a stupid question.
Uh-huh.
And a couple people's phones, like, went off.
It's
like
pretty
annoying. They started searching. And I had literally made a joke, not realizing their phones were out. And because I don't have Siri, I didn't realize how sensitive she was.
Well, I wonder if Siri would play KMOX if you ask her to.
Is that what she does?
I don't know. She could probably do anything. We were talking earlier with Bernie Miklas about the Los Angeles Rams, who have advanced in the playoffs, and they are facing Philadelphia this weekend in the division round. And I just look, I am a Bears fan, but I care very much about St. Louis. And when the Rams won the Super Bowl, I was right at the tail end of college.
Yeah.
And that was awesome. It was awesome. I was rooting for them. I was excited for my city. I was excited about everything that was going on. And it has still been difficult for me. I don't dwell on it, but when I do think about it, it kind of pisses me off a little bit.
That should.
They were so bad for 12 years, intentionally bad for 12 years at the end of their time in St. Louis. They go to Los Angeles, and 6 of the 9 years in the playoffs, double-digit wins 6 of those 9 years, 2 Super Bowl appearances, 1 win, multiple playoff appearances. So it's clearly doable. And, you know, we have a texter who said this to us. What a bunch of whiners. I'm wondering if this is somebody in the Kroenke family.
I know.
It says,
Stan?
What a bunch of whiners. Mr. Kroenke is a businessman. He chose to relocate his business, and with that move, the value of his business increased by billions. So please stop the whining. It makes you all so petty. Go Rams. Well, first of all, screw you. Secondly, sports is not a typical business. When you take a typical business out of a region and move it somewhere else, you're affecting the people who work there.
Mm-hmm.
So it could be hundreds, it could be thousands.
Businesses, restaurants.
You're affecting businesses and restaurants. But when it is a sports franchise, you are affecting all of those things and then some, because you are affecting people, you know, the hundreds of thousands, if not we have close to 3 million people who live in this area. Presumably, most of them were Rams fans when the Rams were here. So you have, let's just say you have millions of people in the area who were watching on TV, who were buying tickets for games, who you ask them and it's part of a contract, if you're a team, you ask them to devote their time, energy, passion, money into what you're doing. Say, be a fan of us. We are going to reward you for it. And then you don't reward them for it. You've broken that contract. It is different than like Centene being here.
Yeah.
It's different. It's just it's fundamentally different.
And also, I cannot stress enough. Yeah, okay. So he did want to increase the value of his franchise as a businessman. That's fair. What Ranji said, a team is different. What's also different is he lied about and trashed the city on his way out. And when you lose an NFL team and the economic engine that an NFL team is,
it has an impact.
A massive impact.
You can make the argument that completely funding a stadium with public dollars does not have the return of investment. That's a completely separate argument then. Does the presence of an NFL team in your city have a positive impact? And the answer is absolutely yes, it has a positive impact. First, with image. If you're an NFL city, your city has a more positive image right off the bat. St. Louis is a bigger deal if they have an NFL team.
100%.
The economy around the stadium improves. The restaurants, the living spaces, the businesses that are near the stadium on Wash Ave. All of that improves by the presence of a team, even if the team's only playing 8 or 9 games there a year. Well, really more, because there are preseason games. Still, it has a positive impact on your city in a very big way. And them not being here, we're far past the, oh, get over it, we don't have an NFL team, move on, the NFL sucks. Well, no, it has lasting effects now.
And it has lasting effects now, and as Ron said, it beyond the economy, beyond the sports fans, just relevance and eyeballs. And relevance could be entertainment. Relevance could be other businesses want to come here because the Rams are here. Because I can tell you what, Kansas City is doing pretty well, and the Chiefs are helping them, and Taylor Swift is helping them because it's relevance. It's eyeballs.
That in particular is a very unique situation, but it's still, the point still stands. Being an NFL city matters. And we've been screwed out of that, which I think if you're still upset about it, you have every right to be, and it does not make you petty. It makes you realistic. If you want to disagree with us, you can. Or if you do agree, whatever you're thinking. On the Odyssey app, there is a voice message feature. Record us a message and send it to us. Or you can text or call 314-436-7900. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ronji, KMOX.
People still responding to our discussion about Stan Kroenke, including our Twitter question at ChrisAmyKMOX. How much money would it take for you to wear an I Love Stan Kroenke t-shirt for a month? And I asked, would you turn down $100,000? What about $1 million? So some of the responses so far. I'd wear it for $1 million. This is from Sharon.
Mm-hmm.
Wearing it wouldn't stop me from telling everyone who noticed that it was a lie.
Yeah.
That's a great point.
Yeah.
Another guy said, Andrew says, I'd do it for $10.
Yeah.
Plus, lying Stan apologizes and agrees to invest $2 billion into St. Louis.
Oh, he's got
That's a big caveat.
Okay. Yeah.
Another boss STL says, for $100,000, I'd get the old man's face tattooed on my arm.
What about $50,000?
Well, he didn't specify.
Okay.
Another guy, D-Bar, said, it would take an expansion team from the NFL for me. Jeff says, not enough. And Mr. Sardonyx? Something like
I love listening to you read these Twitter handles.
It wouldn't be enough for me to make money. Stan would have to lose it, too.
Oh yeah, well I'm down with that. Yeah. I would love to see that guy become destitute. That's I'm fine with that. Those are tweets sent to us at Chris Amy KMOX. A text message to 314-436-7900. Hey guys, love your show. Damn right you do. I'm just curious, how did the Rams get to St. Louis way back when?
Car.
Well, no, they would take multiple trucks and buses and planes.
Yeah.
The point is they came to St. Louis from L.A., but L.A. was not supporting it. It's different. It's a completely different situation. The public there wasn't supporting it. Mm-hmm. The city wasn't going to do anything to keep the Rams in L.A., but St. Louis, open arms, willing to do it, and then willing to keep them here and do everything they could to keep them here and put together an earnest proposal to build them a new stadium. So I don't know if the point you're trying to make is, well, you stole a team from another city. It's different when that city does not appear to care whether or not to keep you. And if you look at they are clearly more profitable now, and their valuation is much greater being in L.A. than when it was in St. Louis. Clearly, that's true. But, you know, just looking at the building and seeing some of the attendance, it's not. You know, it's not like, I mean, L.A. cares, but kind of. St. Louis loved that team when they were here.
Yeah.
There's a difference.
Yeah. And like we said, it's a huge loss to football fans and non-football fans in St. Louis because of the economic engine, just the massive impact an NFL team has, especially on a mid-market city.
Yeah. You know, this is a sort of related, but not really.
Okay.
There's a texter who says a city-county merger is what we need to fix the problems. And again, I think there's a lot of truth in that. And this is just a greater fundamental issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's a separate conversation. But I have been trying to figure out how many municipalities. We know that there are something like 88 municipalities in St. Louis. Do you know that there are about the same amount in Los Angeles?
Really?
But they have more unincorporated areas.
Yeah.
And if I have the numbers correct, we shouldn't be anywhere near the amount of municipalities that Los Angeles has. Why are we anywhere near that? Los Angeles is the second biggest market in the country. It's one of the biggest cities in the world, and they have barely more municipalities than we do. We're like number 21 or 22. What's going on here?
A lot of little pieces.
Yeah, there shouldn't be little pieces.
We've broken into a lot of little pieces. It's the same thing. We have a lot of police departments. That can make it difficult for coordinating efforts from one to the next. This is, and again, would love to continue to hear from you on the Odyssey app, our voice message feature, the microphone icon, or our text line, 314-436-7900. This is kind of related to football in that it involves Carrie Underwood. I just wanted to throw this out there. Interesting. So Carrie Underwood, right, sings the, well, obviously she's famous, but also the Sunday Night Football song and everything that I think makes Kevin Wheeler mad that they pay $1 million. I don't know. Every Sunday for her to sing that song. To me, it adds to the production value. It's the sound. It's big. A lot of people like it, I think. But anyway, Carrie Underwood will be performing at President-elect Donald Trump's inauguration next week. Axios reported on this. They note that Carrie Underwood is a more high-profile performer than the musical guests at Trump's 2017 inauguration. Obviously, one of the most popular country singers and just singers overall in the United States, and that, you know, there are some in the entertainment industry who don't want to be associated with Trump and so forth and so forth, but she will be performing. And Axios also points out that some of the resistance that was so vocal and visible at the 2016 inauguration has died down a bit. It doesn't mean that Trump isn't still divisive, but it's just the overall environment seems to be, I think you asked Major Garrett about this. I actually think it was Mike Elam who asked Major Garrett about this. The overall environment seems a little bit calmer, even if you support him or don't support him. And Axios thinks, has posited that perhaps Carrie Underwood's presence, a very high-profile entertainer at this event, kind of shows that most people are a little bit calmer this time around. They don't expect the Women's March to have nearly as many people. They don't expect as many resistance signs as there were in 2016.
Well, part of that is it's not just that they think Donald Trump is normal. I think it's because a lot of people just feel like defeated. Like, all right, he, you know, what are we going to do now? He made it back after all of that, after everything that happened over the last few years, after January 6th and everything before. He won. People voted for him. So what are you going to do? Well, I think more of it is that.
It could
than
be that.
Anything else?
This is Axios's line. What they are seeing is, quote, fewer public displays of rage and more nose to the ground work.
Oh, that could be it, too. Voice messages to the Odyssey app, like this one from Ron.
So we've seen analytics in baseball. We were talking about them in basketball with SLU. What would happen if we would bring analytics to this show? What would we cut out? What would become the mid-range jumper of this show that might get a little less time? What would get more time? Thanks, guys.
Well, what would be the mid-range jumper of this show?
Listen.
Let me think about this. Matt Pajeski.
Is that good?
I'm kidding. We love you.
No.
I don't even know what a mid-range jumper is.
Okay, so...
Is it basketball?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Or a grasshopper who's okay.
No, it's
Is it a track and field athlete?
I know what
it
is.
Not very good.
The mid-range jumper is Amy's puns.
Listen, I'd be thrilled to be the worst person on this show.
What they're saying here, Amy, what they're saying is this.
I feel like it was
a
slight.
Ron's probably trying to take a shot at us.
Yeah.
Which is fine. I think
good
what
thing
he's...
we're too dumb to know.
Yeah.
Hey.
Hey, dummy.
What's up? They're so stupid, they didn't even get my insult. What's a mid-range jumper, Ronge?
Here's the philosophy in basketball. Okay. They say if you're going to shoot a mid-range jumper, why not just take a couple steps back and shoot from three where you get more points?
That's because it's harder from further back.
But barely, if you're only a couple of feet back.
Not if you're
bad at
basketball.
That's what they're saying. But then, you know, you got people like DeMar DeRozan who live in the mid-range and can score all over.
Listen, if I can be medium and mediocre at everything, I'm doing okay. This is what they're saying. That Amy Mark scores. She's a mid-range jumper, but man, she's got her own show.
Well, I think maybe he's talking about me.
I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about.
A text message says, I don't watch the NFL anymore because of all of this with Stan Kroenke.
Yeah, but if you love
football. Okay, that's fine. And a lot of people did say, no more football, no more NFL. Yeah. I can't deal with it. I got people in my family who have said the same thing. I'm this is still a very big sport in St. Louis. The NFL, television-wise, mm-hmm. does very well. Some of it is because there are Chiefs fans here, just by virtue of being in Missouri. But some of it is they just watch the sport. They love the sport. Even with everything Kroenke did to us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I do not think it is a double standard or in any way something that you can't reconcile, which is to watch the NFL, enjoy your favorite sport, and hate Stan Kroenke. You can do both. To me, that's not
you
a hard thing.
You can absolutely do both. And you can root for the Rams to lose every
absolutely.
Time.
Absolutely.
If you want to. Let's take a phone call. In O'Fallon, don't know which one, KC is with us. Hello, KC.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
Well, we're doing pretty well for mid-range jumpers, I can tell you that.
High five.
Okay. Listen to your show every day. Very entertaining. Thank you so much. I'm an Uber driver, so it keeps me listening and entertained. But what I was calling to find out, if you could either discuss or put out there among your listeners when they should use their high beam lights, especially, at nighttime, and because I find it very difficult in these new cars that they make. They have lights almost everywhere on them, and the lights are very they come out very, very bright, and some of them I know are driving around just with their high beams on all the time. When specifically you should just use them in areas where maybe there's dark, but when another car is approaching, you should cut them down. But I wish you would talk about it, and maybe some of your listeners call in and tell me what they think. But I just think that they just don't know how to use high beam lights.
Casey, we're going to fix this for you. All right, Amy, you got a solution?
I do.
Yeah.
I don't remember anything from my driver's test, except I know, this would be, I guess, the written portion, that if a vehicle is coming at you at night and you have a high beam light on, you can't let that vehicle get within 500 feet. I remember that number.
Yeah.
500 feet. If you're behind a vehicle, it needs to be 200 to 300 feet because otherwise you blind the driver. So what you can do if the high beams are on and that person is coming at you and they are not turning the high beams off, you flash the lights so that, hey, your high beams are on. But don't drive around with your high beams on.
No, don't do that. But some of these headlights nowadays, Amy,
look,
they're just so bright all the time.
100%. They look like
high
beams.
How is this even allowed? You know what? I think, honestly, tomorrow's show, I think we're going to lead with this.
Okay.
And this will be all we talk about for 3 hours is high beams. What do you think?
I have driven.
What do you think?
I've driven with my high beams before when I shouldn't have.
Do you use your high beams? Light them up. 314-436-7900. Tell us what you think.
And have you ever driven with your high beams on all the time because you shouldn't have, but one of your headlights was out?
Well, no, don't do that. You're better off driving like Andrew does and just no lights at all. Right? You're far better off.
No. Don't
just
turn off all your
driving
lights.
Driving like Terminator does, where he just no lights and he can
Here's
see the
I
road
figure.
Anyway.
If I have a headlight out and I drive with my high beams on the entire time, each car that passes me thinks that I forgot.
Let's talk to quickly before we get to break. Don in Lincoln County, Missouri. Hello, Don.
Hey, how you guys doing?
What's up?
I don't know if you guys watched the football game last night, but the running back for the Rams who scored the first touchdown, when they showed him on the TV, he's from St. Louis, and they really got right on into his tattoo, which is a big arch tattoo on his right arm that says, "Welcome to St. Louis."
Really?
Yep.
His name's Williams. I forget his first name.
Kyron Williams.
His mom on the
or
news.
Kieran Williams. I can't remember.
Yep. But he's got a big tattoo right on his arm that has the arch and everything, and then right at the crease of his elbow, it says, "Welcome to St. Louis."
That's really awesome. And I
that
hope he
cool.
loses on Sunday. I hope he gets 0 yards.
Well, it's not his fault.
No, it isn't. He went to Notre Dame.
He's going to be...
Now you have to cheer for him. He's from St. Louis,
right.
And now you're a Notre Dame fan.
That's right.
Fan.
I decided to bandwagon. Yep, I'm bandwagoning for Notre Dame.
Yeah, you can root for him personally.
All right.
And then also root for the Rams to lose.
All right, man. I
don't see anything wrong with that. Thanks for that heads up. I missed that.
That's right. Good for us. St. Louis representing in the Super Bowl. He should have said, I refuse to play here for this franchise. How dare he? It's Chris and Amy on KMOX.
Tuesday has no feel. Monday has a feel. Friday has a feel. Sunday has a feel.
I feel Tuesday and Wednesday.
All right, shut up, the both of you.
So please stop the whine. We're trying to help Matt pick up chicks.
This is adorable. He is the most eligible bachelor under the age of 40 in St. Louis.
In this room
and in St. Louis.
Matt Pajeski, our producer.
Ronge, Michael Kelly, eligible bachelors for the old ladies.
Yep.
But for Matt Pajeski, this guy, he's a catch. We just need to teach him to like introduce himself. I'm glad you're here.
I know it doesn't sound exactly like that, but I do a really great impersonation of that Indianapolis reporter who creeped out Caitlin Clark when she got drafted by the Fever.
Do a heart sign for me. I'm glad you're here.
I'm glad you're here. Do a great impersonation of that. It's almost as good as my Buffalo Bill.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. So, you've never seen Silence of the Lambs, have you?
No.
That would not be the kind of movie you'd like.
No, but I remember I was watching the Oscars the year it won all its awards because I had to close my eyes.
You would. Yeah, you would, you big baby. The number is 314-436-7900. Just to remind you, we're going to be broadcasting live from the winter warm-up, Cardinals Care winter warm-up at Ballpark Village. It's at Ballpark Village and at Busch Stadium. But Amy and I will be at BPV, at Cardinals Nation, from 9 to 11. Our show is a little bit earlier, from 9 to 11, because at 11 o'clock, KMOX will go to inauguration coverage, because Monday also happens to be inauguration day.
Such a big day. And then later that night, national championship football game.
That's so much going on.
BPV sounds a little bit like something you need a vaccine for.
Well, you probably do. Why can't I think of what it is now?
It's HPV. Yeah, when you said BPV, I was like, so get your vaccine.
Big Blonde Dan wants to weigh in.
Okay.
You got the headlight, the high beam, and the halogen. The headlight goes with the high beam, so who's turning on the halogen? I know what he's trying to do there. Look,
I have halogen?
The halogen are those bright ones
those were the high beams. I don't have halogen.
The high beams are the upper. Yes, the brights.
Yes.
The halogen are just like that all the time.
Yeah.
I can't believe they're legal. They're so bright.
Yeah.
I know that tomorrow maybe we will do a portion of the show where we let the listener program it. I wish you guys would talk more about high beams and.
Well,
we appreciate Casey for listening to the show.
We had someone else call in with programming ideas. What if we did do a show that was pure listener programming? 3 hours of suggestions.
It would be so terrible.
Would it be?
It would be worse
mid-range?
Than what we're doing, huh?
Would it be mid-range?
Oh yeah, a lot of mid-range shots, a lot of missed shots.
You know, you can get far in life if you're medium at everything.
You really can't. Well, you'll never fall too far behind.
You'll never fall too far behind, and every now and then you just might be better than medium.
Nothing wrong with medium.
I'm actually.
It's not failing.
It's not failing.
Yeah.
That's why we're the midday show, because we're mid.
That's Amy Marks Kors. I'm Chris Ronge. We will be back with more of this crap tomorrow at 10. We're going to have Nikki Budzinski. who is a congresswoman from Illinois, about the radioactive material on the east side, you know, from years ago, and what she's trying to do for the residents on that side of the river. We're going to talk to her. We will have more of you. Anything you missed is on the Audacy app, A-U-D-A-C-Y. Back with you tomorrow at 10. Amy Marks Kors, Chris Ranji on KMOX. Here comes Dave Glover.